The gospel, as you can well imagine then, is about wisdom. It is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25. We're getting towards the end of Matthew, right? 1 to 13. And here we have then, see, we're in this 32nd, I think it is, Sunday. So there's only 34, you know. And so we have all these, the Lord's teaching about the end times and so forth. In the gospel, every gospel, at the end, and we're getting there. And so we're talking now about wisdom. The Lord is going to give an example of wisdom. The one he gives is preparedness. Well, part of wisdom then is to know you're going to die. Another part is to know that the Lord is coming back. That's wisdom. But I want to move that out further. Consider the text for a while, and then consider what wisdom is, what a joy it is, and go back to what we had in the first reading, like mother, she greets us like a mother, like a bride. Wisdom comes to us. I read you the text from Proverbs, work for wisdom, seek for wisdom, like silver or gold. Why? Because wisdom gives herself. Well, then how do I have to seek if she's going to? Because seeking is already part of the gift of wisdom. If you're on thirst to know what your life is all about, if you're on thirst to really know God, that's a gift. It's already a gift to know that. And every wise person I've ever known knows that they live by gift. So, I might even read it again if I get a chance. Maybe my marker's still there. Nope. But we'll see. All right. Jesus told his disciples this parable. Got to be another parable about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven will be like. It's interesting, huh? Or, homothesite, will be likened to 10 virgins. One of the translations, to 10 girls. So there was 10 young women who are not married, who are going to be part of the bridal cortege, I suppose. I think most people have heard, but I'll do it quickly. A wedding, a marriage over there is normally the parents of the bride and the parents of the groom discuss. And then the father of the bride has to provide a certain amount of money so that when the groom marries the bride, there's some money around. And he ought to have a responsible job. And of course, that's the kind of stuff, among others, they're going to talk about. So then it's all arranged, okay? All right. And the date for the wedding is set. Okay. So then what happens? Oh, you know, there's a big party down at the bridegroom's house for a while, like Cana. And then the bridegroom goes up to the bride's house and he meets with the father. And there's the last minute dilly-dallying over the finances. And so they're not quite sure when that's going to be over. You see? So the friends of the bride go up there and wait outside for this to be over, and then they lead with their lamps, these little things you see sometimes, you see, little terracotta lamps with oil in them and a little wick. They're waiting out there for all the dilly-dallying to be done, and then the bridegroom will lead his bride, and he'll lead her from her house to his house, with everybody clapping and singing and having their lamps. And then the big party starts at the other end, you see. So these virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them. But the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Now, since the bridegroom was long delayed, now you see in that culture that makes sense. In our culture, it's usually the bride who's late, but not for all the time that this implies. Behold the bridegroom at midnight. Come out to meet him. Then all of those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We're not ready for the party. So they said, look, we don't have enough. You'd have to just run down to the store and get yourself some. So while he went off to buy it, the bridegroom came and those who were ready went into the wedding feast with him. Then the door was locked. This is how we're telling the story. I don't know if they locked the door at a wedding. But anyway, afterwards the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. And he said, Amen, I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. And what our Lord is talking about is when he comes to marry his church. And there's a beauty of the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from heaven like a bride to meet her bridegroom. It's the end of the world. And we're all going to rise from the dead. Those of us who are wise have been preparing for this moment. And those who are unwise, one of the great Mother Janet Erskine Stewart, a great Sacred Heart nun in about the 1920s, wrote a little play for her sisters, and it was called Virgins Wise and Otherwise. And so the Lord said, don't be otherwise. You know, be there. And so then, well, what does it mean to get ready? Desire. If we are distracted, we're not desirous. You see, if we desire, that already in this life, the Lord is teaching us and making the desire greater and greater and greater. I mean, read the mystics, huh? John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila. There's nothing between me and God but this kind of gauze. I would just like to rip it away and be there. Not yet, I gotta wait. You see? That's desire. But that desire, it's in every one of us, but we have to be faithful to it. We have to make that the most important thing in life, the desire to be taught by God, because that's wisdom. Now, Aquinas, as usual, is talking about the gift of wisdom. You know, it's one of the Isaian gifts, right? And so, he's talking now, this is in the Summa Theologiae. I only copy the part I need. This is one, part one, question 45, article 3. And then, I didn't put that down, but I'm pretty sure of myself. Especially, I want to concentrate on the answer to the second objection. Because you see that wisdom is experiential. And what is it? It's the Word of God proceeding in your spirit. That's the way Jesus teaches, you see? So, in John 15, we have this text, you see? Now he sets down the sign, true sign of friendship on his own part, which is, and he quotes, all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. But the true sign of a friendship is that a friend reveals the secrets of his heart to his friends. What are the secrets of Jesus' heart? His love for the Father. His love for the Father. And his love for us. And his knowledge of the Father. And he imparts that, you see, to his friends. You want to know that? Be a friend of Jesus. If you want to be a friend of Jesus, as he says, if anybody loves me, he'll do what I say, because that will lead him to me. And if he does what, he'll keep my commandments, and my Father will love him. This is 14:21. My Father will love him, and I will love him, and I will come to him, rather, and I will show myself to him. That's wisdom. So he's saying here, you see, the true sign of friendship is that a friend reveal the secrets of his heart to his friend. That's what Jesus wants to do. If we could only catch on, we wouldn't be so worried. We wouldn't be so distracted. We wouldn't be such egomaniacs. We'd yearn to have Jesus teach us. You see? Since friends have one mind and heart, it does not seem that what one friend reveals to another is placed outside his own heart. Because it isn't. If I tell you the secrets of my heart, they don't leave my heart. They just enter yours, but they stay in my heart. So what happens then? Our hearts are bound together. Well, and when it's Jesus sharing from his heart, and our hearts are bound together, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. You see? It's knowing reality in its highest cause. Okay. Now God, excuse me, now God reveals his secrets to us by letting us share in his wisdom. And this is a text from the Book of Wisdom. In every generation, she, that's wisdom, passes into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. What a promise. So now you see, wisdom is not just getting ready for the second coming. It's knowing who you're waiting for. And know him already. When he comes, I recognize you. You've been the delight of my life. You've taught me my whole life long. You've told me secret things about yourself. That's wisdom. You know, St. Teresa of Avila, I'm talking this way because, you see, getting ready just doesn't mean, whoop, the bridegroom's coming, get your lamp ready. Yeah, it means that. But wisdom is desire. St. Teresa of Avila tells us that one time Jesus came to her, and everything I've learned from the Father, I'm telling you. So he talked to her about the Trinity, their relationship to one another. He talked to her about it. And then she said, now this, I think, is what they mean by theology. Well, you see, theologia means discourse about God. The rest of it is oikonomia, God's plan, the working out, the forgiveness of sins, the going to heaven, the resurrection of the body, the sacraments. That's oikonomia. But theologia, in the ancient view, that's living knowledge of the Trinity. That's theology. So, Jesus is teaching his friend Teresa and explaining. Now, do you think... Now, he loves Teresa. And he chose her in a special way. But do you think that's it? No. You see? I want to read this long objection, answer to an objection that's in Aquinas. The soul is made like to God by grace. Hence, for a divine person to be sent to anyone by grace, there must be a likening of the soul to the divine person who is sent. And this likening happens by some gift of grace. Because the Holy Spirit is love, the soul is assimilated to the Holy Spirit by the gift of love. Hence, the mission of the Holy Spirit is according to the mode of love. Whereas the Son is the Word. And then he quotes a text from Augustine. Not just any word, but a word breathing forth love. Non verbum quale cumque, sed verbum spirans amore. That's the verbum. That's wisdom. And so it goes on then, you see. Thus, the Son is sent, not in accordance with any kind of intellectual perfection, but according to the intellectual illumination which breaks forth into an affection of love. That's the only wisdom. Produces love. Everyone that has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. You see? And in the psalm, in my meditation, a fire shall flame forth. Thus Augustine says in De Trinitate, the Son is sent whenever he is known and perceived by anybody. If you get to know the Son, you're wise. That's the promise. Amen.